That's awesome. We both made the same error. That's amazing. Well, welcome to another episode of the Joe and Doug Show. We're pumped that you're here. And we love when we do that. We share the show and then find out that our volume's on full tilt on our phones, which
we
is always exciting.
We do that all the time. All the time. So it's just part of
But today was both of us. And I was giving you the mocking eyes
as your phone came on.
Yep. And then my phone mocked me. The technology mocked me. So
instant karma.
Yeah, it was. It was quite funny. But we're pumped that you're with us. And we hope that you're having a good week. It's Thursday, a little snowy today here in Youngstown. I got to experience a really cool new business that opened during COVID. And I always like to plug local stuff and especially small business and stuff. And it's Polished Gents Barbershop in Camel. And I went and got a haircut because my barber has COVID and my other hairstylist salon.
Yeah, barbers aren't really around anymore.
No, yeah. Barbers probably, yeah, I just dated myself. That's not the right word. One is taking care of her hubby and the other is sick. So I had to find a haircut before this weekend because we're getting some
I was halfway thinking that you were going to shave it and just be done with it.
Mm. No, if I can, I mean, if I have it, might as well keep it.
Keep it, yeah.
But
yeah,
once it starts going, I'm totally there with you.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't need to do transplants or I've had people ask me like, oh, if you start balding, you know, or if you go gray, and I'm like, I'll go gray then, you know, like,
that's right.
I don't know. Maybe brush something in here if I had a little on the side, but I'm not really worried about it. So anyway, we're pumped. I want to talk about networking today.
Okay.
I want to talk about how to do networking, how to do it in a way that's not manipulative, how to do it in a way that is proactive, healthy. Some people love it. Some people are very good at it. Some people dread it. But when you're in business, when you're in life, if you're breathing, you need a network of people. You need people around you. So whether we're talking on a relational level, whether we're talking, you know, journeying and spirituality or any of that stuff, you need a network of people around you. And people think networking, think business. So we can start there, but it obviously branches into every area of life. So how do you do networking healthy? How do you build relationships? How do you go after people that you know you need, but you don't want it to be slimy?
Can I tell you about the slimy first? Because I was all about slimy in the first part of my life here. And so there's it started making Manchu lists way back, like when I first got out of high school / college. And so basically think of it as sort of like a ledger. Mm-hmm. And you have a person, and then next to the person is what value they represent and what they could do for you. And so you arrange your relationships based on what offerings those people can. So if you come across someone and you can't find the value that they represent, they got a really low score, right? And so when you had a spare minute that you would call all the ones that were high valued on the Manchu list to be able to hang out and do stuff with, because if they liked you and you were successful, then it meant contracts and stuff like that. And it was all mathematical. It was all numbers.
Sterile.
There was really no emotion that went along with it. And it was extremely productive. It filled in every gap that you absolutely needed. And then, you know, I think it broke me in certain ways, because I still feel myself that I fall into that from the get-go, that it is pretty sterile even now. Mm-hmm. And I have to kill it and then raise it from the dead, more or less, when I do it the right way. So that's the wrong way.
Yeah. So essentially you're saying you would put a number, you'd put a numerical value on a person, relationship, contact. And then based on how high or low they were, you would spend time. And you're saying that's not the way to do networking. That's what you're saying,
right,
just to be clear.
Right. It was right.
Because somebody's over there going, oh.
Yeah, don't do that.
Especially with the introverts are like, oh, this makes this so much better. I don't have to invest emotionally.
Yeah.
Just give everybody a number. I only have to call these three people because they're the only ones that matter.
And it sort of was like a stock value, because every time that you'd have an exchange, if it went better.
It's GameStop. I mean,
if we had a good exchange, then it would go up a number. And if it had a bad exchange, it would go down. And if you ended up, you know, reeling in and not extending anything, your number would go down. So you always had like a where everybody was at on your total radar.
Yeah. I find for people that do networking bad, most of them have low emotional IQ. They don't understand who they are in the room. They don't understand their surroundings. And so sometimes it's not necessarily manipulative. It's just awkward. And they're there and they want something out of it. And they make it kind of more transactional than it needs to be. And it makes everybody in the room go like, what are you doing? So I think there's probably more of that than the straight up manipulative, numerical value, only going to spend time with people that are worth spending time with, if that makes sense. I think there's probably a lot more people that are just like, I'm just awkward. I don't know how to do it. How do I just walk up and be like, hey, I'm so-and-so, and just jump into the conversation. Some people have that very much as a natural gift, but others don't. When I think of people that... kind of come across icky. You know, people often use this, and if you're a used car salesman, don't take this personally, but that kind of feeling like they're always trying to sell themselves because they're not convinced of who they are. And so when they come into the room, they're not even confident in their own skin. And so they're trying to convince everybody else that they are something that they're not even sure that they are. And everybody's kind of can pick through that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So my plan for now is I'm still not all that great, because if I don't have that system, I really don't know how to talk to new people. So I need sort of like a wingman who's bubbly and spirited and likes to talk to people. And then I just kind of ride around with them and let them do the ice breaking. And I just kind of pick up the scraps.
Yeah. So I have always been my top score on all of my personality assessments, all of that stuff, has all been people driven scores. From the time I was in kindergarten, I was told that I talked too much. And I think I've said this before on the program. I kind of had friends in every friends group. I had friends in high school that, you know, were the down and out, so to speak. I played sports. I had friends in band. I kind of bounced around from group to group. I don't want to say I was necessarily a chameleon. I was myself, but I was just able to connect. I just had the ability to be friends with a lot of people. And as I've gotten into my professional career, that serves me really well, because I meet people from all walks of life. I've met people that are, you know, on their worst day, you know, just coming out of prison and everything else, to people that have, you know, are retired and been very successful, and, you know, are enjoying their latter years with their grandkids. And I'm able to cross those spectrums and communicate with authenticity to both sets of people, even though I'm not retired and I've never been to prison. So, and everything in between. And so for me, when I do, like, networking is my natural state. I'm always thinking in that mode of, like, relationships are currency, and every relationship I have, those people matter. And my brain naturally goes to those things. And I've had friends, I've had other pastors and people say, like, how do you do that? Teach me how to do that. And I've had to think to myself, how do I do that? Because so much of it is so intuitive. Like, it's just, I don't know. I just do it. Do you have things, cause I know, you've tried to be more, intentional in the relationship department and trying to branch out in a way, but it's not as natural for you.
No.
So what are some of the things for those folks sitting, listening, going, well, that's great for you, Doug. That's awesome. You know, you're a pastor, you're supposed to be a people person, but there are a lot of pastors that aren't people, if that makes sense. But what are some things that you've done to help break you out of that shell to kind of network and put yourself out there a little bit?
So I bought a sticky note, that's big sticky note pad, and I bought a lot of different colored, smaller sticky notes. And so what I do is I take all the things that I'm working on right now, right? And I put it, like, maybe one is open a company and get it to a certain level, get the financing on this, do an equity exchange on that. I mean, all the stuff that I'm working on. And I sit back at this list and I think, who do I need to accomplish this kind of stuff? I'm going to need partnering. I don't have everything that I need. And so I start taking people I know and I start putting on purple sticky notes and I put it around that list. Mm-hmm. All right. And then I'm going to see that I don't know somebody in a certain area and I need to go find somebody in that area. So now I know who I'm looking for, right? Yeah. And so that, let's just say that the last one, I needed someone that sells billboards, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, how could I come across somebody? Like, it can't be random. I'm specifically looking for a billboards person. So I'm walking around, I'm driving around and I see a billboard and somebody that I know is advertising on the billboard, right? So call the person and say, hey, who's your rep for the billboard place? And they're like, oh, it's blah, 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 right? And all I do is go and have a conversation. I find the person. So now I know the person, I know mm-hmm. where they work, I know that they're in the thing. And all I do is send, you know, I'm an emailer first or a messenger, right? That's my icebreaker. So I don't have to, like, sound stupid in
voice. I have to set an alarm to check my emails. I will pick up the phone every time. Even during COVID, so many of the businesses went to, like, app ordering for food. And my wife is huge. She'll just, like, oh, just order on the app. I'm like, give me the phone. I want to talk to somebody. I want to know who's making my pizza. I want to know who, I don't, for me, like, I'm looking to build, those sort of, relationships all the time. And it drives my wife bananas, cause she's like, I'm just here for a gallon of milk. I'm like, yeah, but that cashier, like, needs us. And she's like, no, I need my milk. Like, I'm on a mission. And I'm like, my mission is the person in front of me. And so my brain is just wired to do that. And that's why I get energy from people. We had that conversation last time. So you put kind of like a sticky, you create a methodology, which doesn't surprise me.
I know where I'm going.
Yeah. That's,
I know
where, yep. That's who you're kind of wired to be. So you're taking some of your strengths and saying, hey, I'm going to hack my weaknesses here and create a system that's going to work for me.
Yeah. So there's a point that I have to get personal about it, but I feel like I'm a little bit more educated because I know the name, I know what they do, I know a little bit more about them. So I feel like I'm already familiar a little bit.
Now, can I push?
Yeah.
I'm going to have some fun. I'm going to play Joe right now. So when it comes to a lot of the law of attraction stuff and different stuff like that, you know, you talk often about, you know, putting yourself in the right frame of mind and that stuff comes to you. Now, I didn't realize I did this until we started chatting, but I have never been short on people resources in ministry or life. I've always, if there's a problem that arises or an opportunity that arises or a situation, I'm immediately like, I could call these six people. And one of them is going to jump in and do X, Y, and Z. So whether it was in the building project that we just came out of at the church, it was like, well, who does, you know, plumbing or whatever? And all right, let's try these three people, see who's available. And inevitably, one of them does that. But I find for myself that if I try and do that, because I've tried to be in the past, I tried to be a little more systematized in networking because I'll overwhelm myself with too many relationships and lose track. Sometimes I get frustrated because I'll end up in a spot and I'm like, oh, I totally forget this person's name and it's important that I remember their name. But I just have that Rolodex running through my brain and I can't quite grab the name and that'll frustrate me. And then they'll come up and I'll feel like a buffoon. And that's where I lose my spot, if that makes sense. But I find so much of, I don't know if it's just my gift or I just naturally pull that in, but I never don't have a person for an issue, if that makes sense. And I think some of that for me, when I try and make it more mechanical, I never have the person. But when I just let it come and, you know, I walk into the room like, oh, you're exactly who I was looking for. Walk with me this way. Let me show you what we can do that. I mean, not just at church. I mean, even with stuff, you know, we moved here to Ohio. I knew zero people. Now, I had a little bit of an advantage as I was plugged in as the pastor of a church of 100 people or so. And so there was immediately people that wanted to get to know me and wanted to be in my space with my family and all of that. But over that beginning period, I'm not handy. I had to figure out, like, how am I going to fix my furnace? I have an electrical issue. Now, I can obviously call and pay for that. In some cases, I had to. But I found very quickly there were people that were more than, well, oh, pastor, I'll come over and help with that or whatever. Now, some people may say, oh, that's because you're the pastor. I know plenty of pastors that get told no a lot by people. My wife and I were just having this conversation. But my skill set is to connect people who have gifts, talent, time, whatever it is, with somebody that needs it, whether that's church, whether that's me, or whether that's literally, I got a message on the way in here from somebody going, hey, do you know that podcast thing that you do? How do I do that? And I said, well, actually, I know just the guy to connect you with. And they rent out the equipment. They'll teach you how to use the equipment, et cetera, et cetera. So remind me at the end of the show that we have to do that. But I think for me, that's one of the things that turns my heart on is having a network and having people that I can go, oh, you know, you need to call so-and-so because they're going to come alongside in this. And I love making those and watching the kind of sparks and lightning in a bottle, kind of catching that when two people collide that I get to put together and got to be a part of that. It's just fun. I have no question on that.
All right.
I was just pushing us in that direction because I think for you, you're so with other things like, oh, it's just going to come to me. And I think the people do come, but you're just much more systematized with it where I'm like, sometimes people come and I'm like, I don't even know what I need that for, but I'll shelf that away in my brain. And then a month later or 3 months later, I'm like, oh, you know what? That's where we're going with that. That's why God brought them into my world.
Right. And so most of my business transactions are me going and do business with someone so that they'll come and do business with me. So I would be going to a heating place or an electrical place and paying as much as I could for their services so that they then would reciprocate and shop from whatever I do. Because that's pretty much what I've done, is help people monetize their skill sets and whatever. So I attract, you know, people who want to spend money to me, and then I have to do the same thing. We're spending money back to them.
Yeah. And I think the hardest part is when you have a broad network or a large network of people, juggling that. I'm sure you get a lot of requests. I'm sure you get a lot of folks that, hey, can you coach me in this? Or can I come be a part of this project? Or you want to partner in this? And I'm sure you go through seasons where you're like, oh, man, so-and-so asked me this. I forgot because I'm six more people into this, or I'm 10, steps into that project. How do you manage a growing network like that? Because I know for me, it's challenging at church with, 250, 300 people that call Bridge of Hope home. It's very challenging because people will be like, oh, can you pray for so-and-so? Or, I'll get maybe 10, 12, 15 messages in a week, and I try and get to them all, but then sometimes I don't, and then I run into that person on the weekend, or I get a Facebook message or email, and I'm like, oh, I totally forgot to do X, Y, and Z, just because I'm managing such a broad network, and sometimes you utilize people to help you with that, but Pastor Joanne was a little bit out of commission, Pastor Mike's been a little bit out of commission, right. So the last 2 weeks I've been feeling the weight of I'm juggling four more or five more balls than I normally am juggling. Yeah. And so how do you manage a growing network like that?
Well, I'm a little gun shy because if I create a Manchu list, I'm doing exactly what I did before. And it'd be really difficult not to, because that is the brilliance of it, is that you get every relationship that you ever had on a piece of paper, right? And it's hard not to start assigning math to that list to keep it organized, because that's the purpose of it.
Well, and it's interesting because if you look at just from a spiritual context, so you look at the way Jesus managed he had crowds following him all the time, and the way that I've heard it taught is he had the three, Peter, James, and John, who were his closest. They were the only ones he took up on the Mount of Transfiguration. They got to see some stuff that even the other 12 didn't, disciples. And then he had his 12, and he ate with them and hung out with them. And then he had the 72 who he sends out, and he does some ministry training and stuff like that. And then he's got the 500, which were kind of his posse that went from town to town with him. And then he's got the crowds, and he manages them, but they each only had so much access to him. They each got a level. So there is certain levels to relationships. There's certain responsibilities. Like if you're going to be on my staff or in my inner, squad, so to speak, like there's certain responsibilities, certain weights, and certain vulnerabilities that I'll share that I'm not going to come out on the platform and share. Do you find that to be true? Not necessarily in terms of Manchu list, because that kind of assigns value in that sense. In this case, we're talking about building community a little bit, which I think the two, the lines can blur in that.
Yeah.
Because people go, oh, I'm just not important.
Yeah. So if you have 1,000 people, right, you're obviously going to have to nurture the ones that are most valuable to you. And you have to do that in a way that doesn't transactionalize those relationships.
Exactly.
So yeah, I've done more of like a breadcrumbs effect.
Okay.
If I keep it in my mind and put it on paper, then I'm afraid that I'll go back to my own thing. So I go back and I use my environments to discover what I should be doing. So I leave sort of like when I'm in a, in an office mode, my office mode is all the relationships I need to keep in contact with. I'm in the office. So it's all, if I move into the space, then the space tells me what I should do. I just have to invent enough spaces that I'm always on call. And I know that, just like you, is that there's some people that, are like the tier two ones that we need to keep in contact with, and those are the hardest ones to keep reeling in, because sometimes you just don't get to those ones, and then they kind of get cast off, and you got to rekindle them.
Yeah, and it's it's challenging to manage networks and large groups of people in the sense that everybody has different expectations of your time and your level of business, and you have expectations of yourself, and so even from a standpoint at church. I really do my best with the staff to divvy up, like, hey, we need to call so-and-so, we need to pray for thus and such. Now that we have the Church Center app, that's really helped a ton because people punch that in. It comes immediately to my email and the team's email, and we all see it. And then I'm able, we have a stream that we're able to chat about, hey, can you follow up with so-and-so? And then Tuesday in staff meetings, I check to make sure some of that stuff's followed up on. But some people only want me. And I don't know if you get that. I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to deal with this person. I want the CEO. I don't want to deal with, yeah, that's nice. You had Pastor Duane call me. I want you, Pastor. And but part of me is like, I don't have any more magic mojo than Pastor Joanne does or whomever. And you know, you can, but I can't do that forever. Like there's just not enough hours in the day to do that for everybody. But, how do you deal with when certain aspects of your network put a greater demand on your time than you're willing to give?
Well, mine's easy because it's a value proposition.
Okay.
People pay for my time. So the people who want to pay me, right,
right,
get my time, and the people who don't want to pay me, they get my time maybe if there's any left over. So you bid me up and I pay attention to you.
Yeah, that doesn't work in my industry.
It does not work.
You know, I if anything, I would say in ministry, I probably would say I do my best, and I steer clear from all the financials just because I don't need to know that stuff, because I don't want to give preferential treatment because, right, oh, so-and-so gives X amount of dollars and you haven't given in 2 years. Why am I going to, like, I don't need to know any of that information. I stay out of that realm so that I can stay pure in that as best I can. And then I think the other side of it is, the only other space is, you know, the key leaders and people that are leading stuff. You know, obviously you spend more time with your people that are managing things versus people that are executing on a very operational level. I mean, you may pop in and see them, but your investment time, expectations, inspection are all happening with your mid-level managers, right, that are handling those, right, things. It's not that you don't care about the other employees, but at the end of the day, I'm charging you to make sure that those, right, other employees are cared for.
Yeah.
And I think that tiered system is challenging for people to kind of recognize. So how do you handle that? Because you have multiple business enterprises. Some of them are more hands-on, others are more hands-off. You have the studio here, Youngstown Computers, and so on. Do you have like a key person that runs Youngstown Computers? Do you still meet with everybody from Youngstown Computers? Do you still do day-to-day operations? Studio, do you have, like, how does Joe manage multiple entities? Because I mean, you got almost got a cap on, cap off, this cap going from place to place. And I know you like that energy, but
I do. And I still like to be connected to every portion of it. I mean, when it comes to like accounting, there's some things that I should not be fishing my hands in, and some like I still want to pay attention to because I need to know some information. But I've gotten the people that I have trusted to a certain level. And there's lots of, you know, trust that goes in both directions, and some audits that go in each direction to keep everybody nice and honest, but I let people do what they do, and you know, I know their capabilities, I know what they're willing to do, and if they're willing to do it, I give them all the latitude to, you know, do what they do best.
Yeah, no, I think Dave Ramsey says it best. You know, hire thoroughbreds and then let them run.
Yeah, for sure,
is the best way to do it. You know, I mean, you can get a wild colt and try and break it, but most of the time, it's nice to get somebody. Hey, they're already running in that direction.
Right.
I just got to throw a saddle on that thing and go.
That's right.
It makes things much easier than trying to.
Now, you know, this show, I think I've uncovered more vulnerability with me in this show, and I almost want to run home and like write this one down. Like, make relationships were, I knew were my weakness, but just talking about it like this with you, they're really my weakness now. So I need to get some work on it.
Yeah. Well, and I think for each of us, you know, when I sit with you and we talk about the other side of business and you're talking about in investments, that, like, to me, that's like Japanese, and you're talking, oh, we're just gonna start, you know, speaking engagements this summer, and we're gonna do da 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 da, and you already have formulated, you know, it's gonna fall under here, and money that, like, your brain is already in the business side, and I'm like, I'll be there, got my gloves, you know, I'm showing up to play, like, you know, I'm in, but for me, my immediate thing doesn't go there. For me, I'm already like, well, you know, if we connected this person to that, like, that's where my brain goes. And I love even seeing, Jed land a podcast here and a couple of the others that, it's neat to see kind of the little family of Youngstown Studio starting to figure out where all the pieces fit and what it's supposed to look like. And not that you necessarily, or putting it together for that reason. You're trying to create some awesome local content and give people a platform and do some stuff that you're passionate about. But inevitably, you know, I would have never met some of the guys and gals that are in here, wouldn't have connected on social media. And who knows, 5 years down the road, you know, so-and-so is going to pick up the phone and go, oh, remember we met at Youngstown Studio, da, 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 da. And to me, those are the exciting things. Like when I look back at my life and I see the path that God's kind of put me on, like I wouldn't be pastoring at the church I was at if I didn't go to Valley Forge and meet Brian, who was, you know, one room over my freshman year. And we became really good friends for 4 years. And then he grew up at the church I now pastor. And like I wouldn't be here in Ohio if it wasn't for that relationship. And 10 years later for us still, you know, staying connected and being friends. And so I look at the value of those things. As a matter of fact, I think every ministry job I've ever taken was all connected to a relationship. It was all somebody's like, oh, I got your name from so-and-so, or, you know, what are you doing? Are you interested in being the youth pastor here or whatever? And I never like shopped. It was always like, well, let me think about that. I don't know if I want to send you my resume, and, you know, and then I'd scope it out and then send a resume. And here I am. Like, this was the only, Bridge of Hope was the only place I sent a resume to. Nowhere else.
It's amazing.
I wasn't shopping anywhere. It was like, Brian was like, I could see you preaching here. You should do it. And I was like, no, didn't sleep for 2 days, talked to a mentor and sent a resume. The next thing I knew, 3 months later, we were moving to Ohio.
All right. I'm glad you did.
But those things all come back to, I can point to the people. Like, they all come back to relationships. I would have never ended up in Rockaway in New Jersey as a youth pastor if the lead pastor there didn't call the district youth director, who I had house sat for him and been connected with him since I was in sixth grade. And he mentioned my name and said, oh, I don't know what he's doing. Gave me a call. And the next thing I know, I'm the youth pastor in Northern New Jersey. So those relationships are key. But here's the thing. I didn't make the relationship with Fabian, who's the DYD, because 4 years from now, I know he's going to call me and offer me a job. Like, there was no, like, right. I was just in because I liked him. I knew he, you know, had some stuff that could be deposited in me in a healthy way, and I could serve him in that. In the same way, Brian and I, like, we were just buddies. Like, we were friends. Like, we didn't get in that because, hey, you know what? 10 years from now, I know that if I make this relationship with Brian, he's going to call me, and I'm going to get the job that I'm going to have for the next 20 or 30 years. That thought never crossed my mind. But you build those relationships and you try not to burn bridges, and it ends up being a blessing in the long run. Can you think of any key relationships along the way that you forged, and now, you know, years later you walked in and was like, oh, this was such a blessing that I didn't burn that bridge, or I kept that relationship? Or
up through, like, most recent stuff, most of the stuff that I did had no connection to another human being on the planet. You know, it wasn't granted by it. It wasn't mm-hmm. planned by it. It wasn't because of it. So they were very, even though I did stuff in pretty good scale, it was very simplistic because it didn't have lots of, you know, branches. Just recently, when, you know, you and you started implementing all these meeting people things that, yeah. that, you know, that stuff starting to open up. And, yeah. and even some of the ones that I got right before we started all of this stuff was mostly by accident. You know, forced four people in a room. I was comfortable enough to start forging some stuff. Mm-hmm. And by accident, I stumbled through it. No intentionality whatsoever.
Yeah.
I would say a couple of, you know, we would meet with companies and make these investments in them. And they ended up being real similar mm-hmm. to my principles and how I believed. And I, you know, they were just really good people. So it was by accident that those people found me. I didn't go out there and turn, you know, we're looking for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So when you talk about relationships, feeling like your vulnerability or weakness, I think vulnerability is the word you used. What about them wigs you out? What about them is the thing that you don't like, or maybe it's not don't like, but that you don't feel as confident than sitting down and listening to a pitch plan and telling somebody this is the 5 steps that you need to take before you're ready to be profitable?
So small talk drives me crazy. It does. And the whole time I'm thinking, all right, I have nothing to volley with you, so I'm probably just going to say, that's cool, right? Everything you say, that's cool. and so I want to get into, like, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? I need to be put on something because I'm ready to move here. And so, like, when you're telling me about kids soccer, and I really don't want to say I don't care. I really don't. But I really don't. Yeah. Like, I'll go through it to get to what happens next, but it's rough for me.
Yeah. So I've met a few very high capacity leaders, and I've been very privileged to sit in some meetings and stuff. When I went to Israel, in 2016. We got to meet the mayor of Jerusalem. We got to meet some Knesset members and like people in government were doing some pretty cool stuff. We met some business owners. And it was very interesting to watch the dynamics and here in the States as well. But I'm thinking of one particular interaction in Israel where it was like, you have 10 minutes. It's a photo op. He was asking a few questions so the newspaper could take pictures of us asking questions. And it was a very interesting meeting. I don't think he cared one iota what we had to say, but we were in the room. It was very cool to shake hands and it was fine. But you, like there was a series of those events in over a couple of years that I got to encounter. And I watched one particular high capacity leader that I really admire. And I watched them navigate these relationships and they would just like somebody would be talking about like kids soccer or something like that. They would just butt in and cut right to the chase, but they had a grace about them to do it so that the person wasn't like, ew, and they would do it. And I'd be like, wow, they totally just cut them off. Like, and I was picking up on that. And the other people around the circle were all fine with it, which I was like, teach me, Obi-Wan.
That's for me. Yes. Yeah,
exactly.
So we do radio, and I had a couple of banquets that I went with some, you know, pretty high profile radio hosts, and I worked the room with one of them who basically knew every human being on the planet.
Yeah.
And I wanted to pay attention to like how they really did it. And so, you know, I was cool with just sitting at the table and eating and then listening to the speaker and then kind of going, right?
Yeah, sure.
And after he got done eating, he was walk around to every stinking table.
Yeah.
And how somehow
like
he
like it's his wedding.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And somehow he knew. And then there was and I got it like, hey, this is my friend Joe. And I'm like, oh cool, he's introduced me. I don't have to do this shit. All I have to do is know somebody who knows everybody. I'm cool. But we got to this one guy and they stopped to talk and started having a conversation about fishing. And I kept like going elsewhere in the conversation. And when I would come back, I was like, please don't ask me about what was just being said there because I'm not even going to be able to giggle because I have no idea what's going on right now. But I kept spacing every time that they would go to a how's your golf game and how's your whatever. But I knew that I needed to get good at that stuff if I was going to be able to do the same things that they do.
So you know who they say was the best at this?
Who's that?
It's Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
So, from what I've heard, I had an acquaintance that friend of a friend type deal that worked in Secret Service detail, and he worked with Bush 41, Clinton's, and W, and said that some of the nicest people. He said Bill. He knew he just was great at playing the room. Now people ducked and ran when Hillary came, but Bill was just everybody liked him. Like he was just a nice guy, but he would play golf with Democrats and Republicans. Like he knew how to do some of that, regardless of whether he liked his policies or not, or agreed with certain things. It's not necessarily a political statement, but the things that I've read in some leadership books have even mentioned the way that he would remember things about people and just could people that hated his guts, you know, like that would go out and slam him on the news media behind closed doors. They were like, hey, da, 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 and he would, you know, be able to own that space. Ronald Reagan was another one that was very good at it.
Yeah.
You know, it'd take somebody like, you know, Gorbachev and be able to, go into a room and like he owned the place. And, so, I mean, you look at those type of dynamics and those skills. Some people just, work at that and some people are born with it. But regardless, everybody needs it.
Yeah.
You have to be able to network. And, I would say for me, networking is two things. I network better, when I'm confident in the room. So I would say when I first became a lead pastor, I was comfortable with my gift set. I was comfortable networking at Bridge of Hope and, you know, maybe some of the surrounding areas or churches as people introduced me. But I remember my first couple of like ministry network events where, you went to a minister's retreat with 500 other pastors and, you know, I'm the 28-year-old new lead pastor that youth pastors are all older than, and all the lead pastors have kids that have graduated and I'm here like, I'm here and trying to go around and connect with people. Like sometimes I felt like, you know, I was wearing my dad's suit, you know, type deal. Like I didn't necessarily belong, but, and you've said this, the big secret is everybody feels that way.
Yes.
You know, nobody knows what they're doing. Everybody's in the room just trying to smile and make it.
Right.
But, you know, I didn't know that at that point. And it took me a couple of rounds. And then as I got to know a few key people, I would always kind of make my way over to those pockets and I'd find the person that I knew. And then a lot of times they would go, oh, have you met so-and-so? And then I'd shelf that away in my card catalog. And now 7 years later, you know, we go to Kalahari for Minister's Retreat and I'll bump into people that, I don't necessarily talk to except once or twice a year, but they'll see, oh, how's things going? You know, we see stuff on social media. A lot of people connect on social media. Do you think social media helps or hurts networking is where I was landing that plane.
It helps a guy like me. Yeah. It's so much easier that way. And it's a way for me to organize it without, you know, I'm organizing it. It just keeps me active on it.
Yeah.
You know, before the COVID stuff really hit, I was really working on name memorization. I was really poor at it because I want to know first, like why we were talking and I'd forget that you said your name about 10 minutes ago. Yeah. And I was too ashamed to like say, hey, what was your name again? Cause that's easy. You can do that and nobody's going to think anything of it,
yeah.
But I was afraid to do it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Now they say, in your first conversation to say their name 7 times. Now you have to, it's a skill to do that without it being weird, Joe.
No, it'll be it weird. Is. I will find a way to be like, hey, Jason.
No, but it's true. Cause I meet people all the time. I mean, we have guests every weekend, you know, in church and people come up and they'll be like, this is my cousin Sally and this is so-and-so and I'm meeting 15 new people. And then the next week they'll come up and they'll be like, hi. And I'm like, I recognize your face. I should have said your name more, you know, help me with your name. And I can get away with that for a week. But I really try and do my best. One of the things that I love is when I can recall those names because it blows a guest away when they've come to church once and I met them just, oh, hey, so glad you enjoyed service.
And you know, or are you like guessing, like what's the percentage?
I don't know, to put a percentage on it, I'm pretty good at
okay.
it. I'll never forget Jed and Allie brought their friend Jen the first time and I met her. And then the next time she was there, I was like, oh, Jen, so good to see you. And she was like, did he just tell you my name? Like, couldn't believe that I remembered her name. Was blaming Jed for it, saying he whispered it to me. He's like, I didn't say anything. He just remembered your name. And I just happened to, it just clicked in that moment. I would say probably 60% of the time I grab it nice. Pretty good after the first go around. Sometimes it takes me 2 or 3. With the amount of baptisms we've had, I've had to tell people I feel bad, but like, you guys are getting saved in droves. And so, when we line up for baptisms, like, here's what's going to happen. You need to come in the tank and tell me your name. And it's not because I don't want to be rude, but I want to pray for you and I want to pray for you by name. And I may not know everybody's name in the line and I'm going to be doing 10, 12, 15 people in a row. So just tell me your name and we'll pray in that regard. So,
my skill set got to the level and you know, like those people who say they could talk to dead people. It's me. Like I can remember it usually starts with a J and I'm like, is it a J name? Right. And they have to help me coax me into what their name is.
Jehoshaphat,
Josh, Jason, I'll get this
no,
one.
No, it's a Dumb and Dumber, Slippy, Sloppy, Swanson, Samsonite. I knew it. Oh, it's great. But people are really key. One of the things that I have 5 people that are doing internships with me right now. One of the things that I've said to a few of them is, you know, you will never be poor in any aspect of your life if you have healthy relationships. And so, you know, for a couple of them that really want to move into ministry, I'm like, listen, I would pick up the phone, go down that Ohio Ministry Network,
try to make friends,
Rolodex, and just, hey, if I drive to Columbus, can I take you for coffee? Like, if you call all of them, one of them might say yes. And then you build this relationship and build rapport and make sure you show up with something to say and good questions. You know, I taught a school of ministry class at one of the local school of ministries here. And I kept saying, like, you know, you guys have access to people all over the place, business owners, all sorts of stuff. So go find somebody that does what you want to do. You know, if you want to be a worship leader, go call every church and be like, who's your worship leader? If I come take them to lunch, yeah, it costs you $20, $30 to take them to lunch. But you're 19, 20, like, what chance do you have to sit down with somebody that maybe has been doing this 10 or 15 years, even if it's not your style, not your church, whatever, you can go out there and ask those questions and get, and you never know, they may be like, oh, wow, that was really great. And 5 years down the road, they'll say, oh, so-and-so should call for this job or yeah. whatever. And people don't think that way. And most people are terrified to do it.
Yeah.
They just are. And, you know, I would probably say, you know, meeting strangers is second to the fear of public speaking. But other than that, you know, people are just terrified. But I do you think your side of it, do you think you're just nervous because of, you don't really care what other people think of you. So what's, no. what's the thing that makes you uncomfortable to do it?
I just have so much indifference that's already built into that cake. And I don't want to make people feel minimized when it comes out, like, cause it's not real, right. Mm-hmm. But it feels real because I'm such a doer that I want the verbs. Like I want to know what I'm supposed to be doing about something. And I scan, you know, skid right past, you know, how it makes you feel when it's so vanilla. So
yeah,
you know,
yeah. Stay. No, I totally get that. You know, some of that stuff I don't connect with because it's such a natural gift set that God kind of put in me. Yeah.
Well, and honestly, what I like about it is that, you know, where you're learning a lot of the stuff that I do from the strategic end, I'm learning just as much from you from the relational end, too. Sure. And that's what relationships are about, is that we're not supposed to be all good at the same things.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a scripture that says iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. Heard that scripture before. And it's true. You know, the rough edges in me get rubbed off by the good stuff in you and vice versa.
There you go.
And it lets us become... a sharp weapon.
Love it.
Yeah. And do what we're designed to do. So, well, we could keep going, but it's like, man, time flew by.
It did.
So, hey, if you want to connect with Joe and you got a business idea or you want to be on the podcast, I saw Josh was on here. He's the one who messaged me. Josh, if you're still watching, message Joe. I'll try and connect you guys up. I know you were asking about doing a podcast, and Joe can explain you kind of how that works and what their process is here at Youngstown Studio. But if you're looking to be coached or mentored, or you just want to network, we'd love to chat with you. So you can message us, or you can text in or call in to the show next time. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll be back here on Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.